Today's Bible reading is from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 12 through 14. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span, enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord, or what man shows him his counsel? Whom did he consult, and who made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice, and taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding?
Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, your testimonies are wonderful, and therefore our soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. And so we do pray, Father, that you would do that double unfolding tonight, that you would unfold your words to us, and you would unfold and open our hearts to your word, that you would make your face shine upon us and teach us your statutes. For Jesus' sake. Amen. How would you feel if someone knew absolutely everything about you? Absolutely everything. I can see the answer already. Uncomfortable or ashamed? Maybe for a few of us, safe. Well, either Google or Facebook probably does know most things about you. If you use Google regularly, if you have a Facebook profile, they probably know your age, your gender, your friends, your birthday, where you live, where you've been, and what you like to watch on YouTube. But you and I still have some secrets. So, you know, there's the good news. You and I still have some secrets. Google and Facebook can't yet read our thoughts. But God can. God can read your thoughts. In fact, God knows absolutely everything about you. He knows you inside out. How does that make you feel, I wonder? Uncomfortable? Ashamed? Safe? There's one simple truth in the Bible that accompanies every single thing God reveals about himself to us. This is it. Everything God is good news for you if you're in Jesus Christ. Everything God is good for you if you're in Jesus Christ. So what does it mean that God knows everything? That's what we're going to be looking at tonight, that God knows everything. What does it mean? No secrets, no surprises for God, complete safety for you and me. Let's look firstly then at no secrets. It's a wonderful thing to realize. God has never learned anything, and he never will. He doesn't need to. I mean, that's verse 14, isn't it? Whom did he, that is God, consult? And who made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge? Who showed him the way of understanding? No one. Let me give you a couple. Well, Isaiah gives us a couple more examples. I had to use Google this afternoon, having just insulted it. I had to use Google to find out that there are 332,500,000 cubic miles of water on this planet. God knew that. Verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? God. And God didn't have to Google it. He didn't have to hire a team of scientists to find it out for him. It was easier for God to count up all the water on this planet than it is for you or me to count 3 raindrops on the palm of your hand. God knows everything. And God's knowledge, Isaiah teaches us, God's knowledge doesn't stop there. God knows the galaxies. And he knows the stars. Not at the end of a telescope like we might. God knows them individually, by name. The Bible says they're the work of his fingertips. And God knows the weight of the great mountains of the world. Think of the Himalayas or the Rockies or the Alps. God knows exactly to the milligram how much dust is in each and every one of those mountains. Verse 12, who marked off the heavens with a span That means with a measuring device. Who enclosed the dust of the earth with a measure? Who weighed the mountains in the scales and the hills in the balance? Who? God and no one else. No one else has that type of knowledge at their fingertips. And God knows all of this without any help from you or me. Look at verse 13. What man shows him his counsel? In other words, no one has ever gone to God and said, God, listen, I think my plan's better than your plan. For God to then say, gee, thanks, I didn't think of that. Boy, am I glad to have you here on my side. God has no teachers. He does not need them. Some people say that's why God created Adam and Eve on the last day of, on the sixth day, so that if he'd created them earlier, they would have given all sorts of useless hints on how to make the rest of creation. God has no teachers. God has complete possession of all truth, all facts, all wisdom, all knowledge, which means God never makes mistakes. Not today, not yesterday, nor ever. Now, if knowledge is power, this much knowledge in the hands of anybody who with a changeable character would be terrifying, wouldn't it? This much knowledge in the character of someone who changes, how could you ever escape? But as we saw last week, God is unchangingly good, and Isaiah wants us to see that too. That's in verse 14 again. Who taught God the path of justice? No one. Isaiah wants us to see that God's knowledge is not separated from his justice. They are twinned. God has never needed to learn what is right and wrong. He has never lacked justice, and therefore his knowledge is never used to blackmail or to bully or to oppress or for any form of evil. God's knowledge is just, good, just like God is. Now, you could look at these verses in Isaiah 40 and say, well, does this just mean God is a kind of big picture type of God? I mean, he gets the big picture, but he doesn't really know humanity. Actually, that's what Isaiah 40 is doing as a chapter. It's saying, no, God does indeed know humanity. If you look down at verse 29... Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? God knows everything, and so humanity is not hidden from him. In fact, again and again in the Bible, we see that nothing is hidden from God. There are no secrets in humanity that God does not have access to. And as we read through the stories of the Old Testament particularly, this just becomes so clear. Let me give you some examples. In Joshua 7, Israel's moving into the promised land and all's going swimmingly, and a chap called Achan decides that God isn't good enough for him. He needs to have some of the gold of a tribe that has just been conquered. And so he steals some gold, hides it underneath his tent. It's a wonderful thing because no one finds out except God knows. And God makes Achan's sin known. What was a secret for Israel was known to God. Or take King David. David sinning by committing adultery and having Bathsheba's husband murdered. And you could think that's the perfect crime. He's king, he can get away with it, no one's going to tell him off. He can do the ultimate cover-up. Except God knows. And so God sends Nathan the prophet to him to make his sin known. Let me give you one more example. Ezekiel, and this should come up on the screen in a second. Ezekiel 8, verse 12. This is a low point for Israel. And so God gives Ezekiel a vision, takes him to a darkened temple room in Jerusalem. In Ezekiel 8, verse 12, this is what we read. Then he said to me, Son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel are doing in the dark? Thinking God could not see them, each in his room of pictures. For they say, the Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land. The shock of this passage, this isn't atheists claiming this. These aren't people from the nations around Israel who don't worship the true God saying that God can't see them. This is Israel's priests, the religious establishment. But God sees them. And God shows us here that God sees the sins of those who are powerful and privileged, both in society and in the church, and God doesn't turn a blind eye to them. This is how Hebrews chapter 4 describes God's knowledge. No creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must all give account. In other words, there are no secrets before God. God knows everything. And therefore, secondly, there are no surprises. That's our second heading. No secrets, no surprises. I wonder what has surprised you this year. Let me tell you some of the things that surprised me. England doing so well in the World Cup. Germany doing so badly. You thought you'd heard the last of it. No, you haven't. All those months of sunny weather without any rain. Answers to prayer have surprised me. Think of things that have surprised you. I mean, life is full of surprises, isn't it? It's so obviously true, it's almost a cliche. We don't know what's happening tomorrow. But nothing surprises God. God is never taken by surprise. Again, let me just give you some examples this time, just from the first two books of the Bible. God knew that a Saviour would one day come to rescue us from our sin, Genesis 3. God knew that Abraham would one day be the father of a great nation. God knew that Joseph would one day be prime minister or president in Egypt. God knew that Pharaoh would harden his heart against God. God knew that he would bring his people out of Egypt 430 years after he first promised to do so. No surprises. God knows the future. And again, in both the Old and the New Testament, what sets God apart from us, what makes him different to us and different from all the little gods that we can come up with, is that God is never surprised. He knows the future. Isaiah 46 verse 10 says, God declares the end from the beginning. In other words, from the very beginning, God knows what is going to happen. God knows how everything will turn out. And he proves it by saying so. God knows the future as clearly as he knows the past. Let me just bring up one little objection you might have. Maybe you're thinking of those times in the Bible where it says, and God remembered. Like, for example, Exodus 2, and God remembered his people. God remembered his promises. It's not that God had forgotten his promises down the back of a sofa in heaven and then finds them again. When God is said to remember, it is his way of saying, or the Bible's way of saying, God is acting on his knowledge. For God to remember his people is to step forward to save them. You know, the Bible's clear witness is that there is no limit to God's knowledge. Psalm 147, verse 5. Great is our Lord, and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. That is literally a challenge to you and me. Think of the biggest box you can. Try and shove God's wisdom inside of it, and your box is too small. Nothing surprises God. There's no standard, no measurement by which you can size God's wisdom up or limit it. Everything in all places at all times is permanently before his eyes. And that knowledge does not overwhelm him. He does not need to write things down to see clearly. And wonderfully, God knows our future, your future, my future. You probably know these words from Psalm 139, verse 16. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. David is writing here in this psalm and says, God knows every single day in his life, and God knew all the days of David's life before David was born. And what is true of David is true of you and me. God has known every day of your life, and he's known it from all eternity past. Everything that has happened to us in life so far, God has known about. God has seen coming. And everything we will experience, right down to our very last heartbeat, God knows. And the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful comfort about this is that it means God is never caught unawares. Nothing jumps out from the dark and surprises him. God never drops what he is doing because he is caught off guard. Satan cannot trap God. Satan cannot outmaneuver God. Satan cannot force God's hand. He cannot ambush God. God is always, always ready for what is to come. There is no gap in his knowledge. So if you're here tonight and are just exploring Christianity, this means God knows you even if you don't yet know him. God knows you. knows your name, knows your background, knows what you're thinking. He knows your thoughts, your words, your life story. He knows it all better than you do, or anyone else does. Which is a warning to you, I hope, because it means God knows what you've thought of him. God knows how you've treated the people he's made in his image. But there's also an invitation there. God knows you just as you are. And he sent Jesus for you. To restore you, to forgive you, to bring you into his family. God looked at this world eyes wide open. Not blinking, not looking away when he sent Jesus for us. God knew absolutely everything there is to know and sent his son because he loved us. God so loved the world, knowing exactly what that world is like. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God knows you and he loves you. And isn't that what we're really looking for in our relationships? To finally find a relationship where we can be totally known, no masks, no secrets, totally known, and not be rejected, not be pushed away, not be ashamed. The good news of the Bible is that the God who has made us knows absolutely everything about you and me, and still loves us, and will accept us if we come to him in Jesus Christ, if we turn from our sins, turn from our way of doing life and trust him. God knows everything, therefore no surprises and no secrets. For us, that means complete safety. That's our third and final point, complete safety. I try not to bring long quotations into a sermon because I don't really like quoting long things that other people have said, but this is just too good not to share with you. This is from Jim Packer, a great theologian, who shows us what safety looks like when God knows everything about you and me. It's from his book, Knowing God. Quote, God knows me as a friend, one who loves me. There is not a moment when his eye is off me or his attention distracted from me, and no moment, therefore, when his care fails. There is unspeakable comfort in knowing that God is constantly taking knowledge of me in love and watching over me for my good. There is tremendous relief in knowing that God's love to me is utterly realistic, based at every point on already knowing the worst about me, so that no discovery now can disillusion him about me, can make him change his mind about me, in the way that I am so often disillusioned about myself. Nothing can stop his determination to bless me. End quote. Friends, what a wonderful privilege it is to be a Christian. What a wonderful privilege it is to be so fully known and so fully loved by a God who is so gracious. And so as we're thinking together about the fact that God knows everything about us, let me just say again, it would be easy for us to go on the defensive, to start thinking of the things that we don't really want God to know about us, to start justifying them or shutting the door around them. But you see, this knowledge of God doesn't threaten you. It only threatens our sin. And our sin only ruins us, so it's good that it's going anyway. So what does God know about you and about me? Turn with me to Psalm 139. We'll spend a bit of time there for this final point. Psalm 139, page 627. 627. Psalm 139, page 627. Just pick out a few of the things that Psalm 139 says that God knows about you and about me. Firstly, God knows your movements. Verse 1, when you sit down and when you get up. Verses 9 to 10, if you get up super early to flee the country, or even if death gets hold of you, God knows where you are. And without bending down from heaven, verse 2, God knows all your thoughts. You discern my thoughts from afar. Isn't that glorious? I mean, how often do we not understand ourselves? How often are we just a heap of contradictions? We don't understand what makes us tick and why we react the way we do and why we say the things we do, why we think the things we do. But verse 3, God understands us. He is acquainted with all our ways. Even before a word is on your tongue, behold, the Lord knows it altogether. Isn't that safety for us? God understands you and understands me like no one else will and no one else can. There is not one area of our lives where God looks in absolute dismay and thinks, oh my goodness, I have no clue what's going on there. How on earth could I ever make that right? Verses 11 and 12. Whether you commit unspeakable evil or whether unspeakable evil is committed against you, you're not hidden from God's eyes. Verses 11 to 12. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. Nothing hides us from God's all-caring sight. And as we saw earlier in verse 16 again, in your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. God knows all the days of our lives. So if you're standing before a big decision and you're wondering what to do, maybe where to live, what to study, whether to keep studying or to break off study, whom to start dating, maybe whom to marry, God already knows the best way forward. He's already written the next chapter of your life. He's already got everything planned out. He knows the beginning of the book right the way through to the end. He knows your whole story, which means you and I don't need to worry. You see, God knowing everything means we just do not need to worry. Isn't that what Jesus teaches in Matthew 6, verse 8? Don't worry about what the world worries about, for your Father in heaven knows what you need before you ask him. Matthew 6, verse 8. Your Father in heaven knows what you need. Well, you and I are so clueless about what we need so often, but our Father in heaven knows. And what about when life gets hard then? Has God forgotten us? Psalm 103, verse 14. God knows our frame. That means he knows what we're made of, what we're built of. He remembers that we are dust. God knows that we are not as good as our social media profiles. God knows we're not superheroes. God knows you and I are weak and limited creatures with limited resources and hearts that are prone to sin. So whatever stressed you most recently, whatever comes in this following week to stress you and ruin your peace, it has not come because God has forgotten who you are. It has not come because God has forgotten who you are. God knows who you and I are. He knows what we can bear. And in his wisdom and in his grace, he knows exactly what to bring in our lives to bring us to the end of ourselves and our own strength and our own wisdom, so that we become more like Jesus and start trusting in God's strength and God's wisdom. See, God knows how to change us. The book of Hebrews compares how God changed us to how our parents tried to discipline us and bring us up. And Hebrews 12 verse 10 says, our parents disciplined us as it seemed best to them. If you're a parent there and you think you don't know what to do half the time, well, what a comfort, that's always been the case. But God disciplines us for our good so that we may share his holiness. You see, God knows exactly how to turn every dark hour and every bitter day into a way of making you and me more holy, more like Jesus. He knows exactly what we need so that we grow in grace and keep believing. The author of Amazing Grace put this together in this little phrase. God's divine wisdom means that everything he sends is necessary for you and me. And nothing he withholds is necessary. Everything in God's wisdom that he sends is necessary. And nothing he withholds can be necessary because he knows everything. And isn't that what Psalm 23 celebrates? I mean, the Lord's my shepherd. How does the verse go on? The Lord's my shepherd. What's the connection between the Lord being my shepherd and me not wanting? It is God's sovereign wisdom and his graciousness. He knows what to give me. He knows what is best for me. And in his power, he can give it to me. And in his love, he will give it to me. The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. So often in our trials, we fall for that lie that Satan brings, that God is clueless or careless. He doesn't know what's going on. If God only knew my circumstances, if God only knew how much this is weighing me down, he'd change everything. Friends, that's a lie. And when we fall for that lie, we need to repent. We need to turn away from our unbelief, because if God truly is all-knowing, he knows better than I know. God is truly all-knowing. He knows best. And therefore, he knows how to run my life better than I know how to run my life. His plan, his wisdom, without limit and without measure. My wisdom, your wisdom, limited. And so God's plan is always better than our ideas. His design for our lives, for our relationships, for our sexuality, that is always the wisest and the safest and the best design for us. True human flourishing only happens inside of God's wisdom. Reject God's wisdom and life is dangerous for us. And this is going to impact how we view prayer, doesn't it? I mean, if God really is all-knowing, doesn't that change how we view the prayers he doesn't answer the way we want them to be answered? What child knows better than their father? What child knows better than their heavenly father? See, what I don't understand about how God answers my prayers, God understands, and God is doing what is best and wisest. And if I don't get it now in this life, he will explain it to me in eternity, when all that is dark will be made light. Friends, more important than my knowing everything in life is my knowing my all-knowing God. No secrets for God. No surprises. Complete safety for us. Let me just give you one little nugget, one last little jewel in God's omniscience, in the fact that God knows everything. Consider with me what God forgets. What does God forget if he knows everything? Not his people, not his promises, not his grace. If you're trusting Jesus, this is what God forgets. Hebrews 8 verse 12, it'll be on the screen. God says, I will be merciful toward their iniquities and I will remember their sins no more. Friends, day by day we just pile our sins on top of each other. Day by day we abandon God for lesser loves, we distrust him, we dishonor him, we steal his glory. And we only see the iceberg of that. God sees the whole lot, everything beneath the surface. Not one sin goes unnoticed. Whatever we might try and hide from ourselves or from others by deleting our browser history, God sees. And yet because Jesus died in our place, that the righteous for the unrighteous, because he was made to be sin for us, God can turn to us and cast our sins behind his back and say he will be merciful towards our iniquities and remember them no more. Friends, that is not something God says to you because God is forgetful, like maybe God will remember them and suddenly bring them up again. Now, what God is saying is that those sins that you think define you, those sins that ruin your day, those sins that you fight against and fall for, those sins that we find so hard to get rid of, God looks us in the eyes and says, you I remember, your sin I remember no more. Not because I'm forgetful, but because I choose to forget. He is merciful towards our iniquities and remembers them no more. That's the power of Jesus' blood. And that's the safety of the Christian. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to praise you and adore you. With fear and trembling, with wonder and admiration that you know everything. Father, how little we know. How small are our thoughts, how broken is our understanding. But you know everything. All facts are at your fingertips. There is no confusion in your head. We praise you for your knowledge. And gracious God, we praise you that because you have adopted us in Christ, this knowledge does not threaten us. This knowledge is our safety. Thank you that we can be safe and secure in knowing that you know what is best for us. And because you love us, and because you're all powerful, you will guide us and lead us through life with all wisdom. Father, above all, we praise you for the fact that you know all our sins and have chosen in Christ through his death and resurrection to forget them. Gracious God, make our hearts sing because of this. For Jesus' sake, amen.